Preston coming this week is a real blessing. We started this last year. We did a week of schools and the event things last year, and this year's wanting, you know, he wanted to come back again. We didn't scare him off. In fact, the complete opposite. We both feel a great God sense in this, that God's hand of blessing is upon this, and there is a, not just that, but there's also a real need within our community and broader community for what the Youth Alliance, which Preston is the CEO and founder of, just do an amazing job with young people throughout 26 states in America, and a whole lot of different school assembly programs and practical programs, mentoring programs, after school programs, feeding programs through his organization. And you know, that's very much our heart too, is to serve our community and to make a difference in this community. You know, church is not just a social club where you come and get entertained. You know, Sunday is the first day of the week where you should be energized and inspired and reminded of God's grace and goodness in your life, so you can go out, you know, to wherever you need to go on Monday, and you start your week on Sunday fired up, ready to go to make a difference for Jesus wherever you find yourself. And so, you know, to partner with somebody like Preston and his organization has just been a real blessing, because as you know, he sort of, you know, defies kind of a lot of the preconceived ideas about Americans, you know, sort of rude and arrogant and that sort of thing. Actually, those things I should probably know. He's those. Can I just say, this week in my car, like, we bought him a whole bunch of nice food to eat. You know, has anyone seen those little snack things with the crackers and the cheese in there? Right, box of 12. He'll eat them and then he'll just throw the wrapper on the back floor of my car because he knows how much he annoys me. And it's just the kind of guy he is. He just, you know, he knows how much it annoys me. It's like, don't make my car dirty, man. He goes, okay, no worries. No worries. That's no good when my daughters are sitting on the back seat laughing and thinking now it's okay for them to do it. But, well, we digress. But, no, Preston really is and has been a blessing to us as a church. And he is in demand around the world and particularly in the States. And we are very blessed and privileged to have him here. He is a very, very good friend, one of my best friends now, actually. And I feel very blessed in saying that. And also a friend to Compass Church. And he calls this his home, away from home, his Australian home. So can we put our hands together for Preston?
Good to be here this morning. I'm excited to be here. My whole trip, I've been waiting for this morning to hang out with everybody that's here. Please ignore all the anti-American sentiment. It's not true. Pastor Flex is very frustrated, and all week long. So if you see him, say, Flex, give me a hug. That's his first name. Phil's his middle name. His first name is Flex. If you didn't notice when he comes up here this morning, he's like, good morning, Chitch. You know, so that's just what he does. There's nothing I can do about it. So, hey, listen, I plan nothing but love. You started it, so I don't want to hear a word. I was going to talk about love and grace and mercy and compliment you, and then you insulted my country. I mean, it's not my fault. I mean, I don't know what to say. But I'm glad to be here, and it's been good being in the schools and being able to go around. Just to think, the relationships of the other pastors that are visiting here this morning, taking a break, and some of you that have been involved with the school, just to think, we've only done 2 weeks of schools, and we've had all this relationship happen. And I often share, I'll just start with this, and I'll go preach my sermon in a second. But the ability that we've been able to connect on such a deep level over just such a short amount of time, for me, is something that's very valuable. I very much value relationships, much more than product. And in the process of us working together to accomplish something, our relationship is the most important thing. So I appreciate my relationship with Compass Church. Coming here this morning, I'm such a sap. Coming here this morning and seeing this place filled and people who love each other, it just does my heart really good. And there's nobody who deserves that better than the team that works here together to serve you all. So why don't you clap for the people at Compass that love you. All right, so here we go. If we're going to do something, then we got to do something. So if we're going to talk about America, then how about a little America here in Australia this morning? So it's real simple. All the fellas say yes.
Yes.
Oh, that was good. That was real. All the fellas say yes.
Yes.
Oh, that was good. So fellas, when you hear me say the words, you know what I'm saying. Every guy says, you know what I mean. Just like that. You got it? So here we go. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean.
A little louder. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
I say, you know what I'm saying, all the guys say, you know what I mean, then all the girls, you shake your head like this, and you say, oh, yeah. You know why? Because, girls, you know you're in charge. I can act all I want like I'm in charge at home, but my wife just like, come here, and I do it because I'm scared. I'm serious. My wife's Jewish. She'll throw a Star of David at me. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that, so I ain't messing around. You know what I mean? I ain't getting cut. I ain't getting cut. So I say, you know what I'm saying. All the guys say, you know what I mean. All the girls say, oh, yeah. You ready? Here we go. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean.
No, it's not, oh, yeah. It's, oh, yeah. Like, oh, I know what you're going to do. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Or you're going to pay. Okay, so here we go. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean.
Okay, so I say, you know what I'm saying. All the guys say, you know what I mean. All the girls say, oh, yeah. Then everybody put your hand out like this. Everybody from the front to the back, to the left to the right. Curl up your last two fingers. Let your hand rock like this. Don't do this. Just do this. If you do this where I'm from, you're gone. So here we go. Just go like this and say, that's how I roll. Oh, y'all gangsters up in here. Turn to the person next to you. Pick up the edge of the shirt like this. Lift it up. You officially been pimped. All right, so here we go. Let's try it. You know what I'm saying? Okay, this requires rhythm, so black people help the white people out. So here we go. Okay, because that was rough. That was rough. That was rough. Do you know there's an Indian chief and he had a one dog and he had another dog? I'll just stop right there. Okay, so here we go. That was for my boys. You know what I'm saying? Okay, it requires a little rhythm, but hopefully we'll get it with the beat. All right, so here we go. Y'all ready? Here we go. This is old school. It's my favorite beat. Y'all like that? It's 1980. This is Young MC. Okay, everybody put your hands up like this. Bring it in and just kind of like. That's it. Oh, look at you all getting jiggy. That's good. Okay, y'all ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Here we go. You know what I'm saying? 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 Okay, that's not bad. Now listen, everybody thinks everybody in America can dance. You don't have to know how to dance. You just got to look like you can dance. So everybody stand up. Stand up. It's real simple. Put your hands up like this. It's going to be a good Sunday morning. We're going to have fun. All right, DJ, turn it up a little bit. Y'all ready? One, two, three. Just swim. Like, look. Oh, yeah, tutu. You're getting into it. That's what I'm saying. That's good. All right, everybody face this way. Put your hands up like this. Just bend your knees. And just on three, let's do the shake. One, two, three. Do the shake. Oh, look at you all. That's good. That's good. Okay, face me. Fist out like this. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? You know what? If I'm going to do that, then I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it right. You got to turn the beat up on this one because this one's a little low. Okay, DJ, help me out. Put your hand out like this. Jersey fist pump. One, two. Y'all ready? Here we go. Come on. Oh, that's good. Okay, face me. Lean forward. This way. One, two, three. Here we go. Now you got to make your angry face. You already like me. That's it. Give me your angry face. That's good. That's good. Okay, one more time. Let's try it. Here we go. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean.
Clap for yourselves. Good. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Pastor Flex was worried I was going to bring him up, but I decided not to. He was worried. I could tell on his face he was nervous. Nat was even more nervous because she knows how uncoordinated he is, but it's good. I had a great time this week, and it was I count it joy to be here in Melbourne and to be in this part of the city, and I enjoyed myself so much. I'm going to read you a verse out of Nehemiah. I do preach. I finally get to it. And so I know you came here to hear something this morning. In Romans, it says this. It says, Abraham did a lot of great things. And he did a lot of amazing things. And a lot of things that were like on the outside. You could see what he did. And he could have received a lot of credit for his story. But it said in Romans that that the Apostle Paul says this. But it wasn't an Abraham story. It was a God story. I came to talk to you about not necessarily a Preston story or a Phil story or a Compass story. You know what I'm excited we're talking about this morning and we talked about this week? The fact that it's a God story. And that God put you and me together. God put things on your heart, put focus, put vision on your heart. And because of that, things can happen. It's amazing. I was so excited when I was on the way here because when I get to your country, I get to finally have good coffee because we don't have any good coffee in America. I mean, we have things like Folgers and Maxwell House. I mean, that's not coffee. You want to go to real coffee? You got to go somewhere with a queen still on the throne. You hear what I'm saying? So you got to go to a Commonwealth. You got to go to the Commonwealth. And by the way, just from America to you guys, good job with Kate and William. It's a lot better. So here we go. And so here we go. Here we go. I couldn't wait. As soon as I got off the plane, I went to go buy a coffee. My favorite coffee is a flat white. So I got off and I went over to order my coffee, and the lady handed it to me. And I took off the lid to go get, and I turned around to get the sugar. And when I did, this lady knocked my coffee on the floor. I've been on a plane for 22 hours. And she knocked, and I was like, somebody's going to die. You know, just still a little bit of America down in there. You know what I'm saying? I watch Rambo too much. You know what I'm saying? So, but I pulled it together, and I just bought myself another coffee. And I want to let you know this morning, inside of every one of us, there's a person that is drawn to the things of God and drawn to the God story. Then there's a part of us that wants us to walk the other way. And this morning, I came to challenge you this morning that somebody's got to die. The Bible says there's an old man that you have to put off, and there's a new man that you need to feed once you give Christ a chance. And I'm here to tell you, you've got to make a choice who you're going to feed. And that means if you're going to choose God, somebody's got to die. Can I get some help up in here this morning? Sometimes you got to make a choice. Something's got to die. Sometimes an addiction's got to die. Sometimes bitterness and hate's got to die. Do you know when you hate somebody, it hurts you more than it hurts the other person? In fact, the only person that it really hurts is you. You know, some of us carry around hate and rejection and loneliness, and then bitterness forms. And our whole life's about proving something to somebody who isn't even watching anymore. Listen, I know what it's like to be rejected from family. I tried for the longest time to get their attention, but they were never even watching. So instead of trying to serve someone who didn't care, I decided to serve someone who loved me the most, and his name was Jesus. I was reading scripture, and I decided, what verse am I going to preach this morning? If I'm going to be at Compass, and I love this place, I told Phil, I'm not coming unless I get to come to Compass. I wanted to be, because I wanted to see you. Do you hear me? I wanted to see you. It's when your heart is drawn towards somebody, when you feel connected to somebody, you'll travel 22 hours on a plane, leave your wife and three kids just to see somebody that you care about. I mean, that's God's story. And this morning, before you realize it, for those of you that are visiting, yeah, I'm crazy. That's okay. Most people think all Americans are rude and arrogant. And that's not true. We are not rude. So here we go. That's funny. That's really, really funny. You know what's funny? I went to schools this week, and lots of times when I travel, I got a band with me. Sometimes there's a band. When I was in New South Wales, there was a band. It's called John Day, and it was crazy because there was three guys, and every time the guys walked on the stage, all the girls were like, "Who's that?" And then I would walk on the stage with the microphone, and all the girls were like, "What's that?" You know what I'm saying? It kind of hurt my feelings. Speaking of that, I'm looking for a husband for Jemima, if anybody's interested. He's got to be between 25 and 35, moderately wealthy and really kind, and he's got to love Jesus. Okay, let me move on. So here we go. Here we go. 2 Nehemiah 17, it says this. Now I'm going to start my sermon. Can I start my sermon? Because I've been goofing off for 15 minutes. And I'm going to get you out of here because I want to have coffee with you and I want to hang out. Everybody hang out for a while afterwards. There's a party out in the foyer. Do you call it a foyer? Or you call it a foyer? But when I got back, I said to them, Jerusalem is truly a mess. The gates have been torn down and burned, and everything is in rubble. Everybody say rubble. Rubble. We must rebuild the city again. We must rebuild the city wall again so we can take pride in our city. Father, we just ask that you bless the reading of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at the person next to you and say, today, somebody's going to die. Look at me. Look at me. Somebody's going to die. You ready? This guy walks in, and this guy had, you know, Nehemiah, he took pride in his city. I mean, I've never seen, like, Flex, he loves this city. Like, he made a commitment to this place. I'll call him Phil for now because I don't want to joke about him anymore. But he had a commitment to people he didn't even know yet. I mean, he didn't even see your face yet. And him and Mick and the team, all of you that are on the core team here, you had a vision for people that you never saw. And you decided you would build something even though nobody was even there yet. Even though that means you're willing for the room to be empty for the day that it's filled with the faces of people that you were committed to before you even knew them. That's what you call commitment. And this guy, Nehemiah, I mean, he was committed. I mean, he was committed. He was committed to the city. He was committed to Jerusalem. And he went away, came back, and all of a sudden, it says everything was messed up. Everything was a mess. Do you ever get back to your house, like, and your spouse was there, and you left it clean, but you came back, and it was a mess? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Hey, ladies, did you ever leave the house, and your husband was there with the kids? And when you got back, you, like, you cleaned the whole place, and when you got back, it was a mess? What's up with those men? Just kidding. Just kidding. Did you ever leave the place and it was fine, but you came back, it was a mess? This guy came back and it was a mess. Everybody say messed up. Sometimes in life, things are messed up. Like, I got a couple things in life that I think are really messed up. Number one, there's one thing about your culture that I think is really messed up. Y'all ready? Here we go. I'm just going to be honest today. I didn't come here to lie. I came to tell the truth. One thing about your culture that I think is just messed up. Skinny jeans. For the love of God, buy jeans that fit you. I mean, men in Australia, why do you wear children's clothing? I mean, we know your pastor wears kids' clothing and the shirts and stuff, but what's up with the pants? Get pants your size. Everybody say messed up. Everybody say messed up. You come to America wearing skinny jeans, you're going to get hurt. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to take you to Goodwill and hook you up. You know what I'm saying? So here we go. Everybody say messed up. This guy walked in and things were messed up. Another thing, sometimes in life, things that happen that are messed up. I mean, you don't always realize it, but like my wife and I got married. You know, I've been married now for going on 13 years. And we got married and it was, you know, congratulations. I told him the other night, I looked at him like, how long you been dating? He goes, 15 months. I said, the Bible says if you like it, you better put a ring on it. You know what I'm saying? The Bible and Beyonce. But still, here we go. So we get married, and after a couple years of being married, I found out that she was going to have a child. And she told me, I'll never forget where I was at. She said, honey, I've checked 3 times. We're going to have a baby. And I just thought about that. Me, a father responsible for a child? And for them to turn out okay, that's scary. And I mean, it took me, I was scared. So we found out and we went into all the parenting classes and I learned how to be a coach, you know, coach her through the pregnancy. And so when it came time for her to give birth, I would help her with the breathing and help her with the things she would need, rub her feet and rub her shoulders and do whatever I needed to do, give her a massage, whatever she needed, just to take care of her. I was the birthing assistant. That was when we went through the training. That was with my wife. Her name's Anna. That's my wife, Anna 1. Y'all hear me? Anna 1. Then the day of contractions came. And I met Anna 2. Everybody say messed up. Everybody say messed up. I met Anna 2. We went in there. She goes, it's time. It's time. And she was walking like this. I walk like that all the time. You know what I'm saying? So we went to the hospital and we got there and they rolled her in and a doctor came in and they threw the sheets and they gave the IV and they put the things on and everything's going. And I was like, okay, baby. And she was in pain. The contractions would come, but that means it was getting closer to the birth. Do y'all hear me? And I walked up to her, and she was there. And I said, okay, sweetheart, I said, it's time. And she was like, she was coming out of a contraction. And I poured the, because they talked about the ice chips in the water. And I poured the ice chips in the water. I said, okay, baby, here you go. Here's the ice water. Now breathe. And that's when it happened. She made her first appearance. Anna, too. Her head completely spinned around. She looked at me, and she was like, I don't need any ice chips. Just get away from me. And I was just like, and then I said, can I rub your feet? I don't need you to rub my feet. You just sit over there. I was like, okay. I was paralyzed. That's messed up. But see, what this guy saw was more than just messed up. See, because he walked in and he didn't just see messed up. See, because messed up has a lip. You can clean up messed up. You can get a vacuum cleaner and clean out your car because there's a few crackers on the floor. Stop crying. I have these little things. I like them. They're probably like kid snacks, but you know, the cheese with the crackers. And so there's only enough cheese in there for two crackers. So I always got an extra cracker. So I like, when he gets out of the car, I like to crumble him up and put him on a seat. He loves that. He really does. He's got his Versace seat covers, you know, so I just, so here we go. Let me stop. Nat's giving me the look. I'm afraid I'm going to meet Nat too. But it's more than messed up. This guy saw more than messed up. I mean, you could clean up messed up. You can cover up messed up. But the problem was, he saw catastrophe. Let me tell you something. This is what happened. He walked in, he said, this place is truly messed up. But there was more to the story. If you're taking a note today, there's more to the story when things are messed up. There's more to the story when things are a little bit out of control. There's more to the story when you have to clean it up all the time. Do y'all hear me? You need to follow me today. I want to let you know there's more to your story today. If things are messed up in your life, I'm here to tell you it's not too late. There's more to your story. There's people all throughout this Bible. And you know, like the Apostle Paul, in five verses, he went from a murderer to a missionary. You know why? Because there was more to his story. I want to let you know, for this city, for the kids I talked to in schools this week, for the tears that I saw going down their faces, there's more to their story. And you know what? I believe when we did our programs this week, I believe because of the churches that were involved and dedication of those people, people asked for help and we answered. The world's waiting for the church to just act like it. If you haven't been able to tell here at Compass this morning, we're just here to love you and care about you just the way you are. And maybe you're a little messed up and you're able to clean it up and pull it together for work. And maybe you're able to pull it together in front of your family. Maybe you're able to pull it together here today. But I know there's more to your story. See, this guy saw more than just messed up. He saw catastrophe. What's catastrophe? Catastrophe is when you can barely piece things back together. It's when things have fallen apart so bad, you don't know how you're going to piece it back together. You don't know what right looks like to be able to put back together right. Do y'all hear me? Something falls apart, but you didn't know what it looked like originally. So this guy sees this and he says, you know what? This place is truly a mess. The gates have been burned down. It was in catastrophe. When I think of catastrophe, I think of like natural disasters. I think of like in my country, like Hurricane Katrina. When Mother Nature hits, and there was so much water in our lower wards, down in that part of my country, that it filled, and people were actually on their roofs waiting to get picked up by boats from the roofs of their homes. And everything that they had floated off or was destroyed. It was more than messed up. It was catastrophe. That's what catastrophe is. It's when life hits you so hard that you don't know where everything that you have is gone. But I want to let you know, there's more to the story. And if you haven't been told this before, you come from greatness. I mean, listen, I grew up in a broken home. My life was messed up. My family, the people that are supposed to take care of me, didn't take care of me. And there were some times, whether if it was through beatings or neglect, loneliness or rejection, that it just felt like flat-out catastrophe. And then one day I learned about this guy named Jesus, and I realized something. It didn't mean that my life was going to change at home, but it meant that I changed. And I realized something. Even though the people on earth that were supposed to take care of me didn't, I realized that I came from a heavenly Father, and I came from greatness. And every time someone came and looked at me and told me I was too stupid or too dumb or didn't belong or didn't have enough of this or didn't know enough of that, I just reminded myself there was more to my story and that I come from greatness. Listen, I don't know what you've been told in life. I don't know what your history might have been. But the history that you have here is not what I'm talking about. The Bible says that we're all sons and daughters of a living God. And that he loves and cares about us just the way we are. And the bottom line for that is that we're all inheritance. We all receive an inheritance from our Heavenly Father. That means we're brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what socioeconomic background you have. We're all connected in some way. And that means we're all going to receive something from that inheritance. That means we're sons and we're daughters. That means we need to walk around like we're actually somebody. I watch people walk around sometimes, and I can look by people's demeanors. I can see kids at school this week, and I can see tears in their eyes. I can tell by the way they carried themselves, or the way they hunched over when they walked or when they talked, that some of them were robbed of their self-confidence. And they need to be told that there was more to their story. And every once in a while, you need to be reminded that you come from greatness. When you walk in sometimes, like Nehemiah did, he walked in, he saw everything was a mess. He saw everything was a catastrophe. But there was something inside of him that stirred enough courage for him to say, you know what? It might be a mess, but there's still more to the story. It might be a mess, but you know what? I'm not quitting. Just because I built it once doesn't mean I can't build it again. I come from greatness. I'm going to dust myself off because there's more here. See, the issue here was he walked in and he saw everything. And it was messed up. But it was more than messed up. It was catastrophe. And you know what comes out of catastrophe? It's the word it says right here. Everything was torn down and burned, and everything was in rubble. Everybody say rubble. Key word this morning, rubble. See, that's what happens. Things get in our lives, they get messed up. Sometimes we struggle in our marriages, and there's rubble. Sometimes we struggle in our friendships, and there's rubble. We hit catastrophe. Maybe it's self-defeating catastrophe. Maybe it's we lost our job. Maybe it's we've been displaced. Maybe something happens at our home. And out of all those catastrophes comes rubble, but it's invisible rubble. And if you don't learn how to deal with the rubble, you keep tripping over it. If you don't know how to learn how to deal with past letdowns and broken hearts, your broken heart falls on the ground, and next thing you know, you're tripping over it. You can't see it because it's invisible, but you trip over it when you get in your next relationship because you bring the old one into the new one. You all following me? That's called rubble. Rubble mess you up. It's more than just messed up. It's learning how to move forward because, listen, this is not a tutu story. This is a God story. This is not a Rob story. This is a God story. This is not an Artie story. This is a God story. And your life is not about you. It's about what you can do in God. Because there's more to your story and you come from greatness. I came to remind Compass this morning. If you're not too sure about your future, look back not from where you came, but from who you came. And you come from greatness on this Sunday morning here at Compass Church. When I think of rubble, I can't help but think of catastrophe. When I think of catastrophe, I can't help but think about Haiti. I mean, think about it. One of the littlest places on our planet. I mean, think about it. How often have you thought about Haiti? Most people, it's insignificant because it's so small. But to God, Haiti counts. Just like to God, you count. I never thought about Haiti. I never thought about what happened there. And all of a sudden, one day, the whole world was looking at Haiti. And all of a sudden, one day, the whole world was seeing what was going on there. Earthquake hit and it shook it. And everything just was reduced. It was more than messed up. It was flat out catastrophe. And there was rubble everywhere. There was rubble laying all over the ground. There was rubble everywhere. And there was a story. I'll never forget the story. It was on the news. It was about a lady. Her name was Jeanette. She was a bank worker. And her husband, his name was Rajay. And it said that the earthquake hit and everything was reduced to rubble. And this 7-8-story building was reduced to, it was flat on the ground. You didn't even know it was a big building. It's kind of like different things in our lives. It's reduced to such a low amount of rubble that you didn't even know anything was there anymore. Like some of our old relationships, some of our old catastrophes. And this guy, Rajay, after the earthquake hit, he went to where his wife worked and the building was all the way down to the ground. And this is the story. For 6 days, he stood by this pile of rubble, and he would yell his wife's name. Her name was Jeanette. The machine would come in, and he would take a scoop off of the pile, and he would yell her name, Jeanette! And then the machine would come back again. He'd run out of the way. And then he would take off a scoop, and he would yell again, Jeanette! All hoping he could hear her voice in the midst of the rubble. See, he wanted there to be more to the story. And he believed in his heart for 6 days, for 24 hours a day, for 6 days, he screamed her name as she was underneath the pile of concrete and dirt. I want to let you know today that there's life inside the rubble. If you're committed, instead of just telling you the story, let me show you the story. Check it out on the screen.
Someone hears a noise. He calls for for silence, then for his wife, Jeanette. Okay, she's there, she's alive, he says. They scrape away stones to expose a small hole and allow the first light to reach the woman in 6 days, her husband overwhelmed. I can hear Jeanette talking. I put a microphone in and ask her if she's injured. Yes, she says, my fingers are broken. She tells me she needs water. It would be a great pleasure. I'm thirsty, but I can't see, she says. Then, a message for her husband. Even if I die, I love you so much. Don't forget it. The risk of her dying remains. Not her husband nor anyone here has the equipment to get her out.
Would you like to take a look?
Suddenly, help arrives. Firefighters from Los Angeles. They push a tiny camera into the hole, and Jeanette is revealed. They get her water, and then begin cutting into the cables and beams around her. The light is fading. Hope is not. Then, our first clear sight of her. Dust in her eyes, smiling, wincing, but alive.
Okay, all quiet.
Oh, it's amazing. She's in incredible shape for the time period she's been in there.
You confident you'll get her out?
Oh, yeah, I'm very confident.
There is just one major worry now, an aftershock.
We may not have a whole lot of time. Once it goes, it goes.
Okay. On a camera, they've seen Jeanette's hand pinned under a beam. Free it, and she's free. A rescuer reaches her hand. She is in pain.
Hey, Jeanette.
Within 3 hours of first hearing her voice, she emerges. Her first words, thank you, God, and then an astonishing moment. The words of her song, don't be afraid of death. She told me she always thought she'd survive, but she wondered why this had happened to her.
Did you think you would live? Did you think you would live?
It's a good story, huh? You can go through your whole life in the midst of being messed up. Maybe your life's messed up today. Maybe you're living in the midst of some catastrophe. There's two things you can do. You can either say, why me? Or you can say, why not? You see, if no one ever told you this before, let me let you know, your story isn't over. There's more to your story. There's a reason why you and I are together this morning. There's a reason why God brought you around the circle of friends that you have. There's more. You know why? Because there's more to your story. You know why he's giving you the relationships that you've had and brought you into a place like this where people can love you and care about you? Because you come from greatness. Every once in a while, you just need to be reminded of that. When I was a kid, I used to try to have a catch with my dad. I'll never forget the last time it happened. My dad threw me a football, American football, and I tried to throw it back, but I couldn't throw it far enough, so it kept hitting the ground. And I never forget when I threw it back one day, it hit the ground, and he got mad because he had to keep bending over and picking it up, and he walked away. It might have only been throwing a football, but the day my dad walked away that day, I remember it like it was like yesterday. And I never seen him turn around since. And for years, I try to get people in my life to pay attention. Hey, look at me. And then after I couldn't get anyone to pay attention, I started having self-pity and started saying, well, why me? Why can't I have a normal family? I used to go to church on Sundays because someone invited me. And I used to watch families come in together. And I used to say, why can't I have a family like that? Why can't I be able to sit with my kids at church? Don't take that for granted, please. Why can't I sit next to somebody who loves me and cares about me? And then when the guy up front speaking and talks about God and maybe even asks us to respond, having somebody to be able to stand with me. That's messed up. But you see, there was more to my story. One day somebody told me about Jesus. And how he helps people that are messed up. Helps people that are in catastrophe. And someone told me I came from greatness. And I'm like, no, you don't know my family. And he's like, no, 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 no. Not this earthly thing, this heavenly thing. You come from greatness. And I learned this word through hanging around people in a place like this. It's called resilience. It means when catastrophe hits and struggles hit, resilience means this. It means nothing hits harder than life. But when life hits, you learn to dust yourself off. Some of you's life has hit you hard, but you've got to learn to dust yourself off and be resilient. It's kind of like the superhero thing. You see a superhero on television and something hits him and it doesn't hurt him. Maybe today you woke up this morning and life's hit you hard and you looked in the mirror. When you get home today, I want you to look in the mirror and say, you know what? There's more to my story. I come from greatness. I'm made of Jesus. If you've been hit by tragedy or catastrophe, you're made of Jesus. And I want to let you know that there's life in the midst of the rubble. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And the door that he knocks on isn't the door. It isn't the proverbial door that we see sitting there or the door that's in the front of your house. It's a door that's reduced to rubble like that. And you're stuck and something's jarred. And there's a part of you that it's got a hold of you. There's something that's got you stuck like Jeanette was stuck. And your hand's stuck. Your heart's stuck. Your work has got you stuck. Your heart has got you stuck and you're there and there's something inside of you that's holding you back from calling out to Jesus. But I'm here to tell you that he stands at the door of your rubble and he knocks because he believes there's life inside the rubble. And if there's a part of you that wants to stay in the rubble, I'm here to tell you that part, somebody's got to die today. The part that wants to live in catastrophe. The part that wants to live messed up. The part that doesn't believe their marriage could be great again. The part that believes that they have to live in disaster or loneliness or disease or rejection or loneliness or brokenhearted. The Bible says all of you that are brokenhearted and that are weary, come and find rest in Jesus. If a lady in a small country who nobody could probably ever thought of. I can't imagine how much that story's affected people. Jesus comes up and yells every time somebody tries to take away a scoop. Jesus stands there and he's saying, I'm here. The Bible says all you have to do is call unto him. If you have never heard this before, if you want to know how you meet Jesus, you want to know how you get into that relationship, it's simple. You just say, hey, you know what, God, I've made some mistakes. I've gone some places and done some things that are just messed up. And these messed up things have turned to catastrophe. But I believe in my heart that you're the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world for people that are messed up, people that are in catastrophe, for people that are stuck in rubble. And then you just have to confess with your heart and believe with your heart and your mouth that he's the Son of God and believe and let him inside your heart and let him lead your life. It's that simple. And that begins the relationship. It doesn't mean your life's going to change, but you'll change. And how you see life changes. Listen, my life and my past isn't any different today than it was 20 years ago when I started this whole thing. But you know what? How I see life has changed. How I look at life has changed. And what he's done for other people, he can do for you. This morning, he came to set captives free for people that are stuck in rubble. People that are stuck in guilt and people that are stuck in shame. People that are stuck in loneliness. People that are stuck in rejection. People, parents that are here that are estranged from their children, there's more to your story. For people here who feel like they're unemployed and you don't know how you're going to make it, listen, you still come from greatness. For people who feel like giving up or been hit by life, today's the day you can dust yourself off and say, you can do whatever you want. I'm made of Jesus, and that's your choice. Where I live in America, there's always older people going on the beaches with these metal detectors. You see them going around all the time. And they got these earphones on, listening for the signal. And as soon as they hear a beep, you see them put the thing down and they get out the shovel and they start digging. You know why? Because they believe there's treasure in the dirt. I'm here to tell you there's treasure in the dirt. There's treasure in the rubble. And I came out of the rubble. You know why I came out of the rubble? Because there was more to my story. I came from greatness, and I was made of Jesus. And I'm here to let you know you can know who Jesus is today in the midst of your rubble. You can say two words, why me, and keep being full of pity, or you can say why not. I'm looking for a generation of people that want to say why not. I'm looking for a generation of people say, you know what, my marriage is broken, but why not? My heart's been broken, but why not? My past has been shattered, but why not? Things are messed up, but why not? So I'm asking you this morning. I don't know if you're used to this, so let me do it this way. Would you mind closing your eyes with me and trusting me for a minute? Listen, I traveled 22 hours on a plane. 22 hours on a plane, I want you to trust me for a minute. This isn't about embarrassing anybody or making you uncomfortable. It's about me telling you that if you're stuck in rubble this morning, Jesus stands at the door and he knocks and he calls your name. So this morning, I just want to ask you a quick question and I'm going to be done. If you're here this morning, you never ever given Jesus a chance. You heard about Jesus. You've watched other people talk about him. You've heard about church. This isn't about church. This isn't about a service. This is even about Compass Church. It's not about you being a member here. It isn't you making a commitment to this place. It's making a commitment to God. If you never walked in here ever again, that's not my concern. My concern is if you're stuck in rubble, Jesus cares. So this morning, if things are messed up, if you've been able to put on a mask and show everybody that life is good when it isn't, and you're stuck in catastrophe and you're stuck in rubble, Jesus stands at the door and knocks today. If you want to give him a chance, it's a real simple prayer. I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand when I count to three so I can see it. And then we're going to say a prayer together. And then I'm going to ask one more question. One, two, three. If that's you, raise your hand. Anybody here? You want to know who Jesus is? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? I got to ask you one more thing. But before I do, is there anybody else? There's four of you, five of you. Okay, you can put your hand down. I just need you to pray this prayer with me. Everybody say, dear Jesus, this morning, I believe that you're the Son of God that came to take away the sins of the world. Pull me out of my rubble and out of my mess and out of my catastrophe. This morning, I confess that I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes. I've done wrong things. But I believe in my heart that you're the Son of God. Now come into my heart. Come into my life. I want to be born again. I want to be a part of the family of God. Call me son. Call me daughter. Help me out of my rubble. In Jesus' name. If you just prayed that prayer, I want to let you know no one's going to love you like the family of God. And you just got a whole bunch of new brothers and sisters, including one from America, who believes in you and loves you and cares about you just the way you are. Now, for the rest of you that are here, look at me. I didn't get a chance to do my story, but most of you know it. I can't change the way my life started, but I can sure do something with the rest of it. And that was my choice. I could either lie in rubble or I could do something about it. Some days I get up and I've got tears in my eyes. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by circumstances. But I just got to remind myself, there's still more to my story. It ain't over yet. Every once in a while, I remind myself, you know what? Maybe I don't have a lot of things that the other people have. Or maybe I don't have certain things that I wish I could be a part of. But you know what? Maybe I don't have a family the way everybody else's family looks. But I still come from greatness. And every once in a while, sometimes life will hit me. I just look in the mirror. You know, personal faith, it's not an image, but it projects an image. So every once in a while, when you look in the mirror and you look at you, you got to see faith and say, you know what? I come from greatness and I'm made of Jesus. If you're here today, and this isn't to embarrass you, but if you're stuck in rubble, you know who God is, but there's some rubble in your life, in your finances, in your marriage, in your circumstance, in your relationships. Maybe you struggle with past thoughts. Maybe you have an addiction. Maybe you have shame and guilt that overwhelms you. That's rubble. It's like Jeanette, your hand's stuck and they want to get you out. Jesus, but you're holding on. Something's got you. You got it and it's got you. You know, those firemen came in and they lifted it up and she was in a lot of pain and it was her choice to pull her hand out. I can't promise things are going to be better. But I can promise someone will go with you. If you're here today and you're in rubble, Jesus is standing at your rubble just waiting for you to put your hand out. And he's saying, my son and my daughter, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I came to tell you today, the Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto him and he will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. You know what that means? There's more to your story. Today, if you've got some rubble in your life, I'm not going to call you forward. In fact, we're going to come to you. And maybe you're not used to this, but just this one time, maybe I can get away with this since I'm from America. If you're stuck in rubble and you just don't want someone to stand with you and help pull you out, I just want you to stand up right now, if that's you. Anybody in this place, you're stuck in rubble, we want to pray with you. Raise your hand, stand up. We're going to come to you. Anybody else? I know that you might not be used to this, but if you can't do this here, I don't know where you're going to do it. This is a safe place to do this. Anybody else? You're stuck in rubble. There's a chasm between you and somebody else. And you just wish somebody would run to you with Jesus. Anybody else? Other than these 6 or 7, 8, 9, 10 in the back. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'll wait a minute. You're worth waiting for. You're worth waiting for. You're stuck in rubble. There's more to your story. You're stuck in catastrophe. You come from greatness. Anybody else? In life, we need people to stand with us, and no one's going to love you like the family of God. So if you're near somebody and they've reached out for help, I want right now three or four people to go to each person. I want you to go. Right there in the back, I want you to go to that young lady right there. I want you to go to that gentleman there. I want you to go to the people that have stood. I want you to get on the same row with them. I want you to stand with them, not behind them. Look at them in the eye. I want you to look at them and say, you might not know me, but we're going to get you out. And I got your back. There's a song we used to sing when I was in, when I first got to know Jesus. It's, the words are, I surrender all. When you've tried to fix everything else around you, when you've tried to get the right car, get the right house, get the right husband, get the right wife, and things still feel broken, there's nowhere to look but on the inside. So today, I'm looking for people that want to surrender their rubble. Sometimes we get so used to neglect that we hang on to our rubble. We like our rubble. We like being trapped because at least where we're trapped, at least we're in control. The idea of obedience is not you being in control, it's God being in control. That means God being in control of your relationships, being in control of your attitude, being in control of your marriage, being in control of your finances, being in control of every part of you. So today, I just want you to surrender up all the rubble, all the broken hearts, all the loneliness, all the time we waste spending thinking and worrying about things we have no control over. The one thing you do have control over today is you. And you've got to tell yourself the three things I've been saying all morning. There's more to my story. I come from greatness. I'm made of Jesus. Father, I pray right now that your anointing that breaks the bondage of every yoke would fall fresh in this place. I pray right now today for people that were stuck in rubble, people that stood up or people that sit down. That doesn't matter. The bottom line is it's where people are at and what you're willing to do. So I pray this morning you would set people that were held captive. I pray that you would help set them free. Help them realize what they're made of, and they're made of you. And they were designed to do something great. So I pray today that you'd release greatness out of each person, each son and each daughter that's in this place that have been stuck and held up and held hostage by their past. I pray that you would open up the incredible future in Jesus Christ. That you let them be rubble free. And even though catastrophes may come and things still might be messed up, we're made of Jesus and we'll smile at the catastrophe and we'll move the rubble. I pray for every person that trips over rubble every day, for people that trip over the past and broken hearts and rough times, that you let them experience freedom today. And instead of saying, why me, I pray today that you teach us to say, why not? We glorify you and we praise you in this place, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, why don't you hug the person that you're near? Let them know that you got their back. and that they can make it. Stay with me. Come here. It's good to be in the house of God, amen. I said it's good to be in the house of God, amen. The wonderful thing about the house of God is the house of God can be fun, and we can laugh, and we can cry, we can celebrate. And most of all, we can empower and encourage one another. Someone's going to love you and care about you just the way you are. I want you to know that. And if nobody's ever told you that before, then the pastors of this church and myself, we want to let you know that we love you and we care about you. And we care about your rubble. May God bless you and keep you. May his light shine upon you, and may you feel his peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Let's put our hands together for Preston. Thank you. So good to have him as part of our church family here at Compass Church. And we really once again want to thank you so much for coming. If anything that Preston has said today has stirred questions or, you know, raised or stirred anything in your heart, you know, we encourage you to speak to somebody about that, whether it's somebody that you came with, or if you didn't come with anyone specifically, then myself and some of the other leaders from the church will be waiting down the front here to chat with you. And can't guarantee we've got all the answers, but we'd love to chat with you about that. And, you know, one of the things that you can do if you responded this morning and say, yeah, I want to start my relationship with Jesus Christ, and you prayed that prayer that Preston prayed for the first time or in a meaningful way for you, for where you're at the moment, then, you know, one of the things we'd love to offer you is the opportunity to do something called the Alpha Course. I mentioned it at the start of the service for Youth Alpha, but there's also an adult Alpha course. And, you know, if you're not close by, if you don't live near us, or, you know, we'd love to help you find a church that you can get plugged into and start to grow and learn more about Jesus and how to be a follower of Jesus. So we'd love to do that with you if you don't come from around here, or if you're from another church, we encourage you just to get in touch with some of your leaders and talk to them about this commitment that you've made today. But you know, if that doesn't relate to you, we'd love to offer you there to be a part of the Alpha course, and we'll have one starting soon. And so, you know, for those that prayed that prayer, put their hand up today, we'd love to chat with you and give you some stuff before you leave today. We'd love to give you a Bible and just let you know where to from here. So we'd love to offer that to you. Or if there's anything you'd like prayer for, as I said, there'll be some leaders and things waiting here this morning to pray with you. Well, in 1 Timothy 5:17, it actually says there that the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. Who enjoyed the preaching this morning? You enjoyed that? Well, we would love to give towards Preston's ministry. It's not towards him; it's towards his ministry, and they have many needs within what they're doing. And you know, Preston coming, he hasn't asked for anything to come. He hasn't asked us to pay his airfares, his accommodation, anything like that. He's just wanted to come and serve us this morning and throughout this week, and to give up that time with his own family and things and away from his own organization. So one of the things that we do in church life is we have the opportunity to give practically, and we can always pray, but practically speaking, we can give a finance in terms of support of what Preston is doing. And you know, his organization do phenomenal things, and I don't have time to go into it, but just want to give you that opportunity. Again, this is totally a personal choice thing. You know, like if you're not prepared, that's okay. What you can do if you want to give during the week, you can just put within the description, if you do the online thing, Preston in that. We'll make sure that gets to him and the Youth Alliance particularly. But if you'd like a giving envelope for either those details or credit card details, our team have got an envelope. If you'd like one of those, if you can just put your hand up, and just as they're being passed out, we'll... what's that? You got to do something. I don't know if I want you to do something. Who thinks I should give Preston the microphone again? Let's, you know, we're not a congregationally governed church, but today might be the day that we kind of throw that vote out there, you know. why not? Oh, really?
It's good to be here today. Before we leave today, I just need you to stand up on your feet. It's important that we do this. Everybody say, we are family. DJ, I need you to turn up a little bit. Okay, y'all ready? Clap your hands. So it's real simple. We say, we are family, all my brothers, sisters, and me. Y'all got it? Okay, gonna dance a little bit. So we're gonna go this way, like this. Everybody just kind of like this. Just do whatever you do. Oh, that's good. That's good. Put your hands up like this and just do like me. Okay, y'all ready? Just sing it one time before I go. We got to leave happy if I'm here. One, two, three. Come on now. We. Ah, come on, Compass. That's it. Come on, sing it now. Come on, Flex. Come here. I'll let Flex finish.
Oh, yeah. Put your hands together for Preston. Well, we really appreciate it this morning. We just have the buckets gone around. Not yet. Oh, that was my choice. That is a good beat. Just before we pass the buckets around, can we just pray? Because I just love to pray for Preston and Anna, Primo, Vito, Ilana, his family and ministry. Father, we thank you so much for family. We thank you, Lord God, that it's but by your grace that we are adopted into your family when we open the door of our heart. And Lord, I'm just rejoicing this morning for those that have made that decision and choice today. The Bible says that we have given heaven a reason to celebrate this morning for people, those in this room that have opened the door of their heart to you, Jesus. And that is just the greatest miracle that can happen on the planet. And Lord God, we just thank you that Preston has brought that word to us this morning. We thank you that he has given up of his time to be with us this last week or so. Lord, we thank you that he's traveled this far, that he's left his family, Anna, Vito, Primo, and Alana. Lord God, that we just pray your blessing upon them right now. That he's given out, as he's spoken almost 30 times this last week, that Lord God, all the energy and effort that's gone into preparation and doing this, that Lord God, you would just pour back into Preston just 100-fold what he's given out here. That when he goes home, Lord God, the Youth Alliance would just continue to flourish and grow, presenting the message of hope and the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the way, the truth, and the life that can only come through you, Jesus, which is just so amazing. And so, Lord, bless Preston. We ask you a safe travel on the way home, and may you bless his family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you as you give. If you want to chat or pray with somebody, there'll be people here. But have a fantastic day, and hope to see you next week. God bless.
I'm sorry.